Kashmir has gone through various phases throughout history, passing through the hands of multi-ethnic, multi-religious rulers. We're going to take it from the Indian Rebellion of 1857, when Kashmir, a princely Indian state, came under the direct influence of the British. So Kashmir has always had this semi-independence about it. By 1941, remember, this is only 6 years before India was handed its independence by the British, Hindus had become the elite of Kashmir. According to the Oxford Encyclopedia of the Islamic World, under Hindu rule, Muslims were discriminated against, faced hefty taxation, discrimination in the legal system, and were even forced into labor without wages. Things were so bad, in fact, that many even migrated out of the Kashmir Valley into the Punjab of British India. According to historians, Muslims lived like peasants under a small group of Hindu elites. Remember, this is only 80 years ago. There are people alive today who witnessed the world as it was back then. Hindu elites, not all, but many, have always harbored ill feelings towards Muslims, and the British knew this all too well. In fact, it was their census in India in 1941 which determined that 77% of Kashmir was Muslim, while only 20% was Hindu, while the Hindus were running the show. The British wanted to use this to their advantage in order to control the region. In 1947, the partition of India and Pakistan took place.
What a fine solution! If there are any Hindus in Pakistan, get out and go to India. And if there are any Muslims in India, get out and go to Pakistan. But what about Hyderabad? That's where I'm from. These guys aren't going anywhere. Well, since Hyderabad is full of Muslims and right in the middle of India, yes, let's let Hyderabad be an independent state. Problem solved.
Therein lies the issue of Kashmir. Because the Hindus, Sikhs, and Buddhists wanted Kashmir to be part of India. When it came to the Muslims of Kashmir, however, they wanted to join Pakistan, and some of them were unsure. A dispute broke out between the two. In Bertenstein's History of India, he states, the United Nations was then invited to mediate the quarrel. The UN mission insisted that the opinion of Kashmiris must be ascertained, while India insisted that no referendum could occur until all of the state had been cleared of irregulars. On 17th of September, 1948, the Indian Army took control of Hyderabad state after an invasion codenamed Operation Polo.
No independence for you either.
In the last days of that same year, while fighting was taking place over Kashmir, a ceasefire was agreed under UN auspices. The UN wanted a referendum to let the Kashmiris decide what they wanted, but India was against this. Relations between India and Pakistan turned rotten to the core and eventually led to more wars and conflicts, first in 1965, and then again in 1971, and again in 1999.
Have no doubts, this was always a British plot to keep the region divided, quarrelling and killing one another. In fact, Imam Khamenei has stated that, like the English, who have intentionally kept the wound of Kashmir open since the era of colonialism in the Indian subcontinent, which has resulted in two neighbouring countries, India and Pakistan, to have discord on this matter until the present time. It's all about divide and rule to this day. India controls half of Kashmir, Pakistan controls a part, and China controls a bit as well.
Kashmir is strategically placed between these three potentially powerful countries in order to keep them fighting.
And Pakistan actually got the short end of the stick, according to the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Pakistan was left with a territory that, although basically Muslim in character, was thinly populated, relatively inaccessible, and economically underdeveloped. The largest Muslim group, situated in the valley of Kashmir, and estimated to number more than half the population of the entire region, lay in Indian-administered territory.
The real area of conflict is the Indian-occupied Jammu and Kashmir, and the people of Kashmir have been trying to gain their freedom from Indian rule. The bottom line is that India knows that if there ever is a referendum in Kashmir, if they are given the ability to democratically choose, it would not be in India's favour. Either Kashmir would become part of Pakistan or an independent state. But the majority of Kashmiris, being Muslims, would not want to be subjugated and ruled over by a Hindu India.
Back in 2007, Reuters said that nearly 90% of people living in Indian Kashmir's summer capital want their troubled and divided state to become an independent country, according to a poll in an Indian newspaper on Monday.
And it's precisely because of this that India seeks to punish Kashmir and its people.
In July 1988, a series of demonstrations, strikes, and attacks on the Indian government began, the Kashmir Insurgency, also known as the Kashmir Intifada.
And it should not be a surprise to anyone that the people of Kashmir do not wish to be occupied by the Indian government. thousands of people have died.
Tribune reported in 2011 that some rights groups in Kashmir say the death toll could be close to 100,000 from the uprising which began in late 1989.
And when it comes to killing Muslims in today's world, all one has to do is say, oh, they were terrorists, and it becomes all right.
Junior Home Minister Jitendra Prasad said, 21,000 of those killed were terrorists. Terrorists being the word used by India to describe insurgents battling New Delhi's rule in the disputed region.
Certainly, India has learnt a trick or two from the British imperialists, and more recently, Israel.
In response to Prime Minister Modi's declaration of an eternal friendship, Netanyahu said,
"Thank you, my friend, Indian PM Narendra Modi. I could not agree with you more.
The deep connection between Israel and India is rooted in the strong friendships between Israelis and Indians. We cooperate in so many areas. I know our ties will only strengthen in the future."
Mwah.
The Middle East Monitor reported in 2019 that India annexes Kashmir under the dark shadow of Netanyahu and Modi's far-right embrace.
Similar to how Zionist extremist Jews are oppressing Palestine, extremist Hindus are oppressing the people of Kashmir.
Interestingly, the Holy Quran states, "Certainly you will find the most violent of people in enmity for those who believe to be the Jews and those who are polytheists."
Remember, it was in 1948,
one day before the expiration of the British Mandate, that the Jewish state of Israel was declared against the wishes of the people of Palestine, which led to the 1948 Arab-Israeli War. The armies of four Arab countries entered what had been British mandatory Palestine, while India and Pakistan were fighting over Kashmir.
This is no coincidence. Around about the same time that they were partitioning India and orchestrating the Kashmir conflict, they were partitioning Palestine and establishing the Kantra State of Israel.
In both of these conflicts, it's Muslims who bear the brunt of the suffering, and both of these conflicts prevail until today. Today, Indian soldiers are occupying Kashmir, just like Israeli soldiers are occupying Palestine.
This is Jammu and Kashmir.
Under Article 370 of the Indian Constitution, it was given the right to have a separate constitution, a state flag, and autonomy over the internal administration of the state, the citizenship, ownership of property, and fundamental rights.
In August 2019, India just randomly revoked this special status.
CNN reported that tens of thousands of additional Indian troops have been deployed into the already heavily militarized region to head off unrest, and several prominent politicians have been placed under house arrest.
By arresting activists and politicians of Kashmir, what is India trying to do other than silence the voice of the Kashmiris
and snatch away their power?
Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi claimed that Article 370 had caused separatism, terrorism, dynastic politics, and corruption.
Yes, because independence will always look like separatism to a tyrant. Self-defense will always look like terrorism to a terrorist.
Modi claimed that we will free Jammu and Kashmir of terrorism.
Yes, by terrorizing the people. And if you doubt that, then know this, that the entire region was locked down with a total communications blackout. No landline connections, no internet, and no mobile coverage.
Two of my brothers working here at IP are from Kashmir. One of them told me that he has not been able to contact his family for days now. The Indian government does not want you to know the atrocities being committed by them in Jammu and Kashmir.
Falsely erroneous notion which they have been selling to their people that Kashmir is the birthplace of Hinduism and we have to reclaim Kashmir. Forcibly it is Gaza type model.
There are many Muslims in both Pakistan and India, but many of them become engrossed in patriotism rather than looking at the facts.
For example, if you're an Indian Muslim and you see clearly that India is committing atrocities and violating human rights, but you're more concerned in making Pakistan look like the bad guy in all of this, then I'm sorry to say, but you are more Indian than you are Muslim. And that's nothing to be proud of. Now, instead of seeing that innocent men, women, and children are being oppressed and trying to stop that oppression from taking place, as Islam tells us to, we instead choose to support our government. The Holy Quran states, "It is not righteousness that you turn your faces towards the east and the west, but righteousness is this, that one should believe in Allah and the last day and the angels and the book and the prophets and give away wealth out of love for him to the near kin and the orphans and the needy and the wayfarer and the beggars and for the emancipation of the captives and keep up prayer and pay the poor rate and the performers of their promise when they make a promise and the patient in distress and affliction and in time of conflicts. These are they who are true to themselves and these are they who guard against evil." This is righteousness according to Islam. Not to say I'm Pakistani or I'm Indian. Some people try to convolute the issue, making it into a Pakistan Muslim and India Hindu thing. Such people are just trying to disunite us on something which is fundamentally humanitarian in nature. Back in 1994, Imam Khamenei stated that the issue of Kashmir is an issue of humanity and Islam, since the Muslim people of this region are clearly subject to oppression and tyranny, and we have always expressed to the government of India our abhorrence towards what is being done to the Muslim people of Kashmir, and we will continue to express the same feelings in various circles. Today, Britain, America, and the cancerous tumor of Israel are indisputable, undeniable enemies of Islam and humanity in general. Brothers and sisters, my fellow human beings, we have to stand united against oppression wherever it may be. Before the 1980s, according to the late Qalbi Hussain Rizvi Kashmiri, Muslims of Kashmir were totally divided to the point where if a Shia visited a Sunni mosque, they would even cleanse the mosque, saying that a heretic had entered and thus defiled the mosque. With this level of disunity, obviously nothing will be accomplished, obviously the enemies will take advantage. In 1980, Imam Khamenei visited Kashmir. He spoke to the Shias, he spoke to the Sunnis. The leader also joined Sunni Friday prayers and prayed while standing before Mirwais Maulavi Farooq and delivered a 15-minute speech. And despite the hostilities that existed back then between Shias and Sunnis, Kashmiri states that after the leader's speech, it was common for Shias to pray at Sunni mosques and would pray before Sunni prayer leaders with no fear. Sunnis would pray at Shia mosques too. This unity was an outcome of that 15-minute speech made by Ayatollah Khamenei. This is how a true leader works. He resolves problems, he gets rid of petty rifts and rivalries, and he unites people for a common purpose and cause. India has sent an army and pretty much invaded another land. Their rights are being taken away, young children are being shot at, people are being blinded. And while the people of Kashmir are subjected to humiliation, torture, and murder, while their children are assaulted and while they suffer similarly to the way Palestinians suffer, the Muslim world is more or less silent. Now, does all this mean that we now declare war against India? That we totally declare them an enemy and cut off diplomacy and trade with them? No. India, like so many other countries in the region throughout history as well as today, is being heavily influenced by America, Britain, and Israel, who are the true enemies. Modi is only a puppet. Here's what the leader said just this past week. "I am disturbed by the situation in Kashmir. In reality, the Muslim people of Kashmir are being bullied. Truthfully, they are being pressured. Fair, just policies must be exercised for these noble people who are living there and faced with the Indian government. Although we have good relations with the government of India, we do have this expectation in regards to them. I also humbly say to you, this is the work of the wicked British. This is a wound in the subcontinent which, from the year 1947, the British created this wound. Right from the beginning, when they, the British, were expelled from the subcontinent was divided into two parts, India and Pakistan. Right from that time, they planted and placed this wound of Kashmir. And they intentionally did so, that this wound never heals, and that there always remains between these two countries difficulty, dispute, and conflict." Connect the dots. Don't just look at what's right in front of you. Pretty much everywhere where you see oppression, you'll find a dirty trail leading back to Imperial Britain, America, and Israel. Inshallah, Israel only has 20 more years maximum before it is eradicated. TikTok, and there's no doubt in my mind that with the Zionist entity of Israel gone, this entire region will change. The Saudi regime won't last long, the Takfiri Wahhabis won't last long, the Hindu extremists won't last long without their master. Everyone in this part of the world, at least, will enjoy safety and peace, and Muslims and people in general of Kashmir and other regions as well will be liberated either before or after. A great change is certainly coming. The only question is, what role will you play in that great change?